invite you to be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, a little over a week ago, my wife Gail and I were invited to travel to Chicago to be a part of this annual event through the ELCA's Global Missions Unit. The ELCA churchwide offices are there in Chicago, and we have been a part of this event for a few years now, and it's always a huge honor and privilege, a great blessing to be a part of this. It's called the Glocal Annual Musicians Training. Glocal is the merger of two words, global and local. It's this idea of bringing people from all over the world, all different contexts and cultures and traditions together to share their what for them is local and bringing that global community together to see the depth and breadth of the church. And it's always just a beautiful, spirit-filled experience. Now, this year, as I was able to go, was an extra special treat for me because one of my teammates was there from way back when I volunteered with Youth Encounter traveling to East and West Africa. One of my teammates, Andrew, haven't seen him for almost 20 years now after our team ministry was done. Our paths went different ways, and we just haven't stayed in touch very well. So it was a huge treat to reconnect with him, and especially in this place, to reminisce together and to remember those times we'd spent traveling in Ghana and Nigeria. And we got especially excited when the leaders started teaching us a song in the language of Yoruba, which is one of the languages spoken in Nigeria. And we were able to say, hey, I remember that language. I remember being in that place. And as we reminisced, we were remembering this time when we had this crazy experience. See, when we went there as a music ministry team, we really kind of walked alongside the local church leaders and said, what do you need us to do to help support and strengthen the ministry you're doing? And now pastors there don't typically, at least in this place, didn't serve just one church. They serve this huge geographic area. And so we would spend time with them. And there was one time where we were in this place where they speak Yoruba, and this local pastor would take us to these different areas to work with these churches he was pastoring. And I remember one time he took us out to this very remote village, kind of a small area way out in the country. And now in the big cities, it wasn't that unheard of to see people from other countries, but out in these remote areas that are harder to access, for many of them, they hadn't ever met someone from another country before, let alone had them come and sing at their church, right? And so this was a big deal. So he talked it up, and the church talked it up. And so we got there, and we were going to just share some songs and some skits and allow him to speak and to pray. And before we knew it, the church, which was not very big, was packed wall to wall, front to back, with people. The whole church had come and the whole community came, and then they told their friends and they told their friends, and we were kind of a spectacle, but I hope in a good way. And I remember people were just crammed in there together. They don't have the same sense of personal space and boundaries that we do, so sitting shoulder to shoulder was not a big deal. And in fact, there were kids sitting in the open-air windows so they could see on the windowsill, and there were people peeking in behind them. The church was surrounded with people just trying to see what this spectacle was that was going on. And I also remember it was so hot. Now, you're not going to believe me when I say this, but there are places in the world where it can get hotter than St. Louis, and this was one of them. So we were sweating, but we sang our music. They shared some of their music, and they sang with us. And then we were able to kind of sit down and get out of the way and allow the pastor to do what he does and to share the gospel and about the ministry of their church and what Jesus meant to him and his people. And it was this beautiful experience. And then at the end of it, he said, all right, time to move on to the next town. I feel like in that memory that maybe I got a small glimpse of what the disciples maybe felt like when they were there with Jesus, when all these people had come to hear this good word that he was speaking, and then they had to just leave the next day. This story in Mark's gospel is an interesting one. I mean, Jesus comes to this house, just the house of the mother-in-law of Peter, and he heals her, but the word gets out that Jesus is there, and before you know it, people are coming from far and wide, from the whole town is coming out, bringing people, and Jesus is healing them, curing them, casting out demons, preaching the gospel to them. And I don't think in that time and place they had the kind of culture where they would say, look, it's getting late, it's almost 10, I better get home to catch the evening news. They probably stayed late into the night. So here was Jesus doing all this work. Imagine he's exhausted and tired, and yet somehow he still, we're told, gets up early in the morning and sneaks off by himself to pray alone. It's important to slow down and notice that in this story, that after all of this chaos, he takes time to get away, to pause, and to pray. And then the next thing we hear is that everyone was looking for him. The disciples come and they find him. They say, everyone's looking for you, Jesus. And why are they looking for him? Because there's more healing to do. There's more ministry to be done. There's more good news to preach. What we see is that in this space, in this little town, Jesus' ministry was thriving. It was a huge success right here and right there. So you would think Jesus would say, things are going well, let's get back to it. But no, he says, it's time to go. He says these words, let us go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the good news of the kingdom there as well. We have to wonder, why risk it when there was so much success? It was so comfortable and familiar and secure. Why risk it? Jesus says, let's go on. Well, I think part of that, of course, was that he took that time to pray and to reflect and to listen. And there's this sense that while there's still good work to be doing, important ministry to be doing there, that he set that time aside to pray and discovered that the Father was calling him to move on to the next place and the next place, to leave and to go beyond. So Jesus goes. And it wasn't safe. We know how the story ends. It probably wasn't even sensible, but it was faithful to his calling. And because it was faithful, we see the work of Jesus is fruitful. When we are faithful, our work becomes fruitful. I have to wonder, what if Jesus had stayed put? What if he had just decided to stay where he was and do what the people wanted him to do? To keep on teaching and healing and preaching good news in that place? You could easily justify it, and you couldn't fault him. You could see them saying, well, we've got this place with Peter's family. We can stay. Everything's going well. Let's just settle in here and see how it goes for a while. But if he had done that, I think about all the amazing ministry and people he wouldn't have met that would never have encountered the work and the life of Jesus along the way in these new places. In fact, as I was looking ahead in Mark's gospel, wondering about this, I came across this story in chapter 5 that's particularly important. As Jesus was out in one of these new places to which he had gone, we're told that one of the leaders of a synagogue came named Jairus and said to Jesus, please, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, my daughter is sick. Please come to our house and heal her. So Jesus agrees to go, and while they're on their way, some leaders from the area come and they stop them and say, don't trouble the teacher any further. I'm sorry, but your daughter, she has died. Jesus overheard what they said and told this man, Jairus, don't fear, just believe. And the rest of the story, Jesus goes, he walks in, he takes the little girl by the hand who had died, their daughter, and speaks to her and raises her back to life. If he had stayed back where he was, where it was comfortable and familiar, this never would have happened. They would have never met. Their paths would never have crossed. Because he moved on, this little girl's life was saved. I think about our own lives and our life as a church and those times in which God calls us to step out and move in some place where we haven't maybe gone before. I think about the experience I had this fall watching the work of Feed My Starving Children here at Good Shepherd. At some point, Feed My Starving Children was a new, novel idea that had not been done before. And I think about all the kids around the world. There are kids that literally would be no longer living today if it weren't for the work of Feed My Starving Children, and part of that being championed and funneled through the faithfulness of Good Shepherd to step out. But it took risk to start that off. It took stretching the limits of our imagination, the limits of our abilities. It took stretching our resources and our time and our energy to make that vision, that calling, a reality. But time and again, when God calls us to step out, I think there are story after story after story at Good Shepherd of people stepping out, taking risk in faithfulness to God's call. And then incredible ministry follows. I think about things like the Pumpkin Patch, which is this great, thriving event full of joy. At some time in Good Shepherd's history, that was just a crazy idea, right? At some point, somebody said, I think we should do a pumpkin patch, and everybody probably said, you're crazy. But it happened, and now it's this annual thing that brings joy and life not only to the people here, but also to the community out beyond our walls. And then it supports amazing mission and ministry around the world. At some point in the last few years, a few people said, look at all this space we have. And I think God is calling us to be even better stewards of what we've been given and create a garden. And so some people got together and shared their gifts and stepped out in faithfulness and tilled the soil and brought forth a community garden that literally produces fruit that can go to help those who are hungry in our own community nearby. Time and again, when God puts forth the call and says, I want you to move out in faithfulness, the people of Good Shepherd say, okay, and step out. This past fall, a group was tasked with coming together, put forth tasked by the council to come together, to pray together regularly, to listen together to one another, and to discern where do we think God is leading Good Shepherd in the next 5-10 years ahead. And out of that time, a strategic plan was born. At the annual meeting last week, we heard just a little bit of that. We'll be hearing more in the coming weeks. But out of that came this belief that God is calling us to live even more deeply into our mission of following Christ, sharing God's love, and growing in faith by focusing on four areas: invitation, nurture, commissioning, and accompaniment. And some of these initiatives that are coming out of the strategic plan are small things to just kind of strengthen our infrastructure and our community, but some are pretty big challenges and ideas. But I'm really excited to see the way in which God is going to move and the Holy Spirit's going to lead us through this, and to see what Good Shepherd's going to look like 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Now, this can be scary and it can be uncomfortable whenever God calls us to do something new or to move in a new direction, but that's because whenever God calls us to take up something new and move forward in this direction, there's also the need to put something down and leave something behind. It's always the way it is. And with our annual meeting last week, we also approved another big challenge to ourselves to step out in faithfulness in terms of our general budget for 2018. Now, whenever we talk about money in the church, people get really nervous, and I get that. It's almost comical when you're standing up here because, you know, when you go to the doctor and they tap your elbow or your knee and there's an automatic reflex? It's like if you say the M word in church, money, people go like that, and you can just see it. But it's scary, and I get that. Whenever we talk about stretching or growing our investment in the future, it's scary, and people get nervous, and I get that too. Actually, I really get that because my livelihood is based on your generosity. So believe me when I say I get it. I do. But I'm also not nervous because I believe this is where God is calling us to go and what God is calling us to do. And I am so confident that when God puts forth a call, Good Shepherd steps up to the plate. And despite all the amazing and wondrous ministry that has happened here in this community of faith over the past decades, that doesn't mean that God is done. I believe God is not done with us yet, and that the best times of Good Shepherd are still to come, to see what God does and moves in the future. But this is always the tension in the church, in any church, wrestling with that prayer that Jesus prayed, taking that time to ask, God, where are you calling us to stay and continue investing in what we've been doing, and where are you calling us to move out in new ways or try new things or to shift? There's always this tension as we try and discern where God is trying to lead us so that we can reach out with more good news and more love, more of the message of the kingdom for people in need. And this is true for us as a church, as a community of faith, but it's also true for us in our individual lives, for you, for me, in our family lives together. And this is one thing I've been digging into a lot in my prayer life in 2018 on a personal level, too, just kind of taking time to pray. It's a natural point at the beginning of the year to look back on what was and to look ahead on what's coming. So I've been taking that time, trying to step back and pause from the commotion and the demands and the expectations of life that all of us feel, and really ask that question: God, what are you calling me to put down and to maybe set aside for now so that I can pick up what you're leading me to do in this season ahead? And as we think about that, both in terms of our life of faith here and in our own personal lives, we might get scared, we might get nervous. I think that's where these words of Isaiah ring so true. So I want to leave us with these words we heard from Isaiah this morning one more time. God says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God does not faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. He strengthens the powerless. Even youths will not faint and be weary. And the young will fall. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Thanks be to God.